Good morning, everybody. How are you? Welcome home. Shout it out loud. Welcome home. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. It's going to be an amazing day. First service was awesome. I don't know how many people gave their hearts to the Lord, but I believe it was at least six or seven folks gave their hearts to Jesus in first service. Believe in God for a great moving of the Holy Spirit in your life today. We want to welcome you home. Many of you have been out and about for the summer. Welcome home as winter comes. You know, it's funny, in ministry, we pray for rain every Sunday morning, and we pray for cold weather to come back early. In Jesus' name. Amen? Yeah, you don't believe that. Father, we love you. We thank you for this great day. We thank you for the souls that were changed in first service. God, we thank you for the ability to come to your house and to worship you with all of our hearts, our minds, our soul, and our strength. Lord, we pray for everyone in this room that if there's any sick, they'll be healed. That, God, if they're lost, they'll be found. Father, if they're in bondage, they'll be free. God, if they don't know you, they'll be drawn to you. Jesus, we thank you and we give you all the honor and all the glory. For, God, this is your day. We're in your house worshiping you because we love you, Jesus. And we thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen.
Come on and join us up front. Come on, come on. Y'all know what we do. There's a lot of space right over here.
Hallelujah.
give it up for the choir. Now we're believing God to add to the choir. We need some men. Besides, hallelujah. We need some more men for the choir. Listen, if you can't sing, please don't ask to join the choir. They don't let me join the choir. But if you can sing, hold a tune, you may need to get a hold of Mackenzie Cole right there. Mackenzie, wave it, everybody. You need to join the choir. Now, today, you're here for a great day because we're going to have an amazing time in the presence of the Lord. But also, you get to see Pastor Rhonda dunked right after service. Glory to God. Nice cold water. It is cold, too. They took it right out of the well. It's going to be a great day. So, why don't you do me a favor? On the way back to your chair, make sure you ask five people, are you joining the choir? Everybody, make your way back. Go find somebody you don't know this morning and welcome them. Please don't sit down. Go find somebody you don't know and say, are you joining the choir? Hey, Dan Flatt, are you joining the choir?
What would happen if the people of God started handling money God's ways? You work too hard to get to the end of your life and have nothing to show for it.
This is my family's legacy that I'm talking about here. I've got to have a plan and be focused.
That knowledge that you pass down to your kids, that is how you change a family tree.
You change your life when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you have that moment where you say, I've had it. I am not going to live like this anymore.
Thank you. morning. We're coming to you live from HTTV, and I am Pastor Dan Dykes.
And I'm Mackenzie Coe. We've got some Welcome Home Sunday announcements for you.
First off, we want to let you know, man, about the men's conference that's coming up September 29th. Yes, that's right. September 29th, it's going to be from 6 to 8 p.m. right at the Way. That's in Elmira Heights. Make sure you sign up, men, to go and become a part of that conference. You want to see Pastor Banfield to sign up today.
On Tuesday, October 31st, we are having our annual Harvest Fest celebration. If you would like to participate in the Trunk or Treat competition, please see Susan Bull. If you would like to donate candy, we are accepting donations from now up until the 31st. You can drop off your donation at the Kids Center. Coming up on September 24th is Baptism Sunday. If you would like to be baptized, please go to the Hub or go to histabernacle.com. Remember, spots are filling up quickly, so get signed up as soon as possible.
We want you to know that we got worship team tryouts. Yes, it's coming this Saturday, September 23rd at 10 a.m. So if you can play an instrument or you can sing, make sure you come out for worship team tryouts this Saturday, 10 a.m.
Make sure you get involved, bring your bulletin home, get connected to the house, and have some fun. Last night started our Welcome Home weekend. It was a blast. The kids had a blast. We had so much fun. It was a great night. And this morning we're getting ready now for our His Kids Children's Choir, which is always super exciting. But our children's ministry, we are not a babysitting service. We are raising these young people. Will be running the world someday. And we're raising them up to know God, to know His Word, to walk in faith, to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. So you get to experience a little bit from our His Kids Children's Choir. Are you all ready? All right, let's go.
Everybody, please stand up.
Come on, clap your hands. Here we go. That's it. Yeah, we're all in this together and we're having fun. We're here to spread the love of God to everyone. Gonna get a little crazy, yeah, a little wild. Here we go now, come give it a try. Move it to the left now, move it to the right. Find someone you don't know and give them a high five. Stomp your feet louder.
Yeah, you guys are doing awesome.
Wave your hands up high.
Come on.
Find somebody else now and give them.
Let's go!
Somebody else knows.
Come on, give Pastor, give the children another hand clap. Dude, you're good. Ethan Skinkle, if we could get his father up here.
I just had one of the little kids tap me on the shoulder and said, you should have gotten dunked twice in both services. Well, I don't understand this desire to dunk me.
I wish I would help it. Amen. Isn't God good? Don't you love the children? You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, they're the leaders of just tomorrow. No, they're the leaders of today. Bible says, let the little children lead them. We're teaching these kids how to pray, how to move in the Spirit. It's an awesome thing to know that every week kids give their hearts to Jesus on the other side of that wall. Can we give a hand clap to all the workers? There's a lot of workers every single week that are serving our children and serving Jesus and training them, not babysitting, but training them. It's an awesome privilege. Mackenzie Coe. No, wait a minute. Here we go. Pastor Rhonda.
It's okay. New order of service, so we're trying to follow directions. This is the time where we enter into our tithes and offerings, and we are the generous church, and we love to give. So at this time, what we do here in this house is we bring our tithes and offerings to the Lord. So there'll be baskets at the front. But if you'll stand to your feet, we're going to make our supernatural declaration, which is from the Word of God. It's simply Deuteronomy chapter 28. And it says, If I obey, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching and you're our live stream family, thank you so much. You can give right along with us by clicking on the giving button or text to give.
I am the worship director here at His Tab, if you didn't know. And I'm so, so excited that it's Welcome Home Weekend. I know that everybody has been on vacation and taking their kids to sports. And I look on Facebook and see all of these pretty pictures. You guys are at the beach. You guys are camping. And it's really, really awesome to see you guys making family memories there. But as many places as we can go, as many places as we can go visit and have a good time, there's really nothing better than the feeling of just being able to come home. And not just to our houses where we sleep, but actually come home to a place where there's Jesus, there's no judgment, there's restoration. There's people here that genuinely really do love you. Like, not just put on a face and say, oh, I love you, like, you look so cute. Like, no, it's not like that. It's actual love. Like, you can just feel it. There's so many good churches out there, but one thing that I hear consistently about the church that I'm so proud to be a part of is that we just have real love here, and we have real people here. So without further ado, I'm not going to call it the first... Whew. It's so much different speaking in front of people than singing. This is Jesus right here working through me. Hallelujah. Okay. Without any further ado, here is the Welcome Home Weekend production. Enjoy.
This is the story of the perfect son, the one left behind when his brother, the prodigal one, took off with his inheritance. The perfect son stayed behind because he was the responsible one.
I was the responsible one. Dad! Dad!
Quit yelling. I'm right here, Joseph. What do you want?
Sorry, I just wanted to let you know that I finished milking the cows, feeding the sheep, also load the hay. Cleaned out the barn and raked the barnyard.
Wow. Well, I'm pretty sure when I asked you to do these things, I said you didn't have to do them all in one day.
Well, you know, with my brother leaving and all, I just wanted to make sure that I'm helping you out.
Well, thank you, son. I appreciate that.
And day after day, the perfect son worked hard to fill the gap left behind by his brother. And day after day, he reminded his dad of how perfect he was.
So, Dad, did you notice that I whitewashed the barn? I also mended the fence right over on the other side, and also gathered all the sheep, and I didn't even have breakfast yet. I just wanted to know that you can count on me.
Well, thank God I can count on you, son. I appreciate that. You know, without you, you know I wouldn't have been able to do it.
The perfect son worked year after year. And year after year, he reminded his dad that he stayed behind to help when his brother ran off.
Dad, you know I stayed behind because you needed me.
Yes, I know, son. And I appreciate that you did.
And you're glad that you had me to do all of this for you.
Like I said, I couldn't have done it. So I appreciate it.
And Dad, I just really, really work hard for you.
Yes, you sure do.
One day, off in the distance, the dad spotted a cloud of dust.
Hey, that looks like my missing son. Hey, Joseph, come here, Joseph. Hurry up.
Yes, Dad?
Yeah. Look at that. Out there in the distance. Doesn't that look like your missing brother coming home?
That looks like a dust devil, Dad.
A dust devil? Well, yeah. That dust devil has a family resemblance there, bud.
Maybe it's Mom's fourth cousin that's been twice removed coming to visit the farm.
You need to get your eyes fixed, boy. Look at that. That's your brother Samuel. See? He's home.
Oh, great.
Samuel, just so
great.
Glad to see you. I'm so glad you're home.
No. I screwed up, Dad. I wasted all the money that you gave me, and I've been just working trying to make ends meet, and I don't have any other clothes. I was coming back to ask if I could work on the farm for free. I'll do anything. I'll load all the hay. I'll whitewash the barns. I'll rake the barnyard. I'll clean up after animals. Anything. I'm not proud. I'm just hungry.
Dad, he's here to work for free. Say yes.
No, I'm going to have to say no.
What do you mean, no?
That's what I said, no.
It's okay. I get it. I wasted everything. I blew it all. I won't bother you guys anymore.
Dad, he said he would work for free.
Yeah. Hold on, Samuel. Wait. You don't understand. When I said no, it's because I'm going to pay you. Okay, you're my son, and I'm not going to just pay you a laborer's wage. Half of everything you see here will be yours one day.
Half? What do you mean half? Are you nuts? He's already wasted his half. Like, I don't understand, Dad. Why are you going to give him more? I stayed here. I've worked for you. I gave up everything for you.
I know, son, but you could have left any time you wanted to. and I would have given you the same thing I gave your brother.
Left? If I would have left, we've tripled in size since he's left. And the things that you're going to give to me is let my no-good brother come back and give him another half? How is this even fair?
It's not about fair, son. It's about love.
Dad, that's just the most wonderful thing, but I blew all the money the first time. I don't deserve this.
Son, it's not about deserving. It's about love.
No, no, he does not deserve it whatsoever. You know what? I'm done. I quit. I want my half now.
Okay, look. I'm sorry you feel that way, okay? But tomorrow, we'll go down to the bank, and I'll get your half, all right? But for now, why don't you stay with us and celebrate your brother's return?
No, no, I'm not going to celebrate this. Are you kidding me? You're just going to give him another half and have him just come back here? And it's ridiculous, Dad. It's ridiculous.
Yes, I know it's ridiculous and it's not fair, okay? I understand that, but it's not about getting what's fair. It's about love, son. You know, without love, it means nothing, okay? Your brother understands that. He learned this. So I know that I can trust him with the farm in the future, and I want the same for both of you, okay? So this farm is nothing without love.
Dad, that's just a pile of ox poo. Maybe you'll realize tomorrow that you made the greatest mistake of your life. I'm leaving. I'm gone.
Well, goodbye, son. I love you. I'll see you tomorrow.
Whatever.
Well, let's fire up that barbecue pit anyway. I want everyone to see what a fine young man you've become.
Well, that's great, Dad, but I really want to go talk to him. I know what it's like out there, and it's not what it's made out to be. He's gonna miss us. He's gonna miss being back here on the farm. He's gonna miss you and me, and I know I did.
Well, I'll tell you what. You can try. You can go try talking to him, but if he doesn't listen, let him go. Okay? Because guess what? He'll come back just like you did, and when he does, we'll have a heck of a party.
Yeah, we will.
The perfect son was gone for a very long time. Learning to forgive takes longer than learning to love. By the time he returned, his father was gone, but his brothers saw him coming. And when the perfect son got home, the party was already started.
One of the most dangerous terms in English diction. If it could be translated into audio, it would sound like from the saxophone of Lisa Simpson. Two words designed and strategically combined to form the biggest oxymoron in the history of mankind. Almost. But you see, as far as this world is concerned, you can live your life foul. You can almost get away with murder if you have a nice smile. You can almost meet folks just to almost sleep around, but then stop at your local clinic where you almost had a child. See, almost is no stranger to Satan, and here's proof. He only tells lies when they're almost the truth, and it's amazing. In our incompleteness, we find complacence. But if almost is one of Lucifer's many traits, then we are inadvertently good at Satan impersonations. But on the contrary, Christ did his job fully, and he proved he was God when he died on the cross like it was his duty. And a part of me of my iniquities that I committed so rudely, he resurrected from the grave just to tell death to excuse me. But excuse me, this is your life, and that's something I can't impose on. But your body was God's home, which was a loan to get foreclosed on. You see, an almost Christian looks right but lives wrong. can't stand the conviction in Romans, so they sent out to be comforted in Psalms. Never understood worship, but loved to sing songs like, I surrender almost. Because it's far too expensive for you to live your life for something that doesn't appeal to your five senses, see? Nowadays, Christianity is like a Louis rag. No function or use, but we just rock it because it's stylish. Not righteous, but right-ish. So now all God sees is a pile of Ishmaels when he intended for Isaacs. And we're moved by how we feel, so we're saved when we feel like it, but then technically we've never really been saved. We've merely only tried it. So no wonder why we're never sold out when we return it after we buy it now. Let me break it down, because you need to be aware that your life could lack the very standard that's needed to be there, because on that final day of judgment, while God is receiving his heir, will he say, son, well done, or medium rare? Because even by worldly standards, it would be highly insane for you to spend all of your money days before you almost get paid like parents. You wouldn't send your kids to a school that's almost safe. And ladies, will you really date a man that claims that he's almost straight? And this is the very thing about God that we all try to get around. But guess what? His standards are like in between two mountains. No middle ground. So a halfway life is unprofitable to you. Because after all the Sunday services, Bible studies, prayer meetings, everything that will go in between, God will still say, I never knew you. But that's not even the worst part about living your life as neutral. It's that you were once arctic, but it's your warmness that's causing him to spew you. And this is the very thing that had me. I was bound and held down by the unforgiving gravity of my spiritual reality. I was a Christian. Or at least I portrayed the fantasy. With a filthy personal life, but God bless you, brother. How you doing, sister? Personality. I was a male, enveloped by guilt because I was stamped a sinner. I said I was a male, enveloped by guilt because I was stamped a sinner. My message couldn't be received because I did not represent the sender, yet I was almost delivered. Until that one day when I totally, absolutely, and I completely surrendered, I took heed to a modern prophet who proclaimed it was time for change. So now I'm no longer bound by sin, point blank, off the chain. You can ask Umar Abdul-Muttalib, and he'll tell you the same. You don't almost go to jail when you almost blew up a plane, just like you don't almost go to hell when you almost get saved. Despise the cross for which he was slain, and thus the cause for which he came, but don't worry, I'm almost done. But before I leave this stage, we have all worked in sin, and death was minimum wage. I said we have all worked in sin, and death was minimum wage. But if it wasn't for Christ, we would have almost got paid.
Where I find peace again.
scary. That's a lot of people's lives. And today, Jesus wants to make a change in your life. One of the most powerful principles is recognizing how awesome and powerful the enemy is in our life when we give him that place and that position. And today I want to challenge you, because each one of us sit here on Welcome Home Sunday, and the enemy has tempted us in so many different areas, so many different ways in our life to get us to literally walk away from God. Some people have walked away a little. Some people have walked away a lot. Some people have completely abandoned Christ. And every one of us at some level, at some point in time, have made decisions where Jesus is no longer the number one in our life. And God wants to bring us back, because in these last days, listen, there's nobody that can sit here today, I don't care if you're young or old, and watch the weather and watch all the activity over in the Middle East and watch what's happening even in our world, where even in America they're putting chips in people's hands to run business, and not realize that Jesus is coming. It's not a fairy tale anymore. The Bible says that many have said, well, we've heard about this Jesus coming all these years, and nothing's really happened. I want you to know, we can't say that anymore. Jesus is coming. We are seeing the signs and the times like we have never seen before, and it's time for the church to come back to Christ. It's time for us to love him as number one. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. There's a time when the church has to arise and realize that without Jesus number one in our life, we're fighting a battle we cannot win. We cannot almost be saved. We're either sold out for Christ or we're not. The book of Revelation is so powerful of the church of Laodicea. He says, because you're neither hot nor cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to projectile vomit you out of my mouth. You see, in this time, God is raising up a remnant of people. What's a remnant? It's a group of people that will truly love God with all of their heart, their mind, their body, soul, and their strength. But the enemy is working so desperately that even in the last days, the elect will be deceived. But it's time for us to come back. It's time for us to get passionate again. It's time for us to get focused again and make Jesus our number one in our life. It's time to come home. I said, it's time to come home. We started preaching, and you've heard it preached already with the drama about the prodigal son. We all know the story, but what's amazing about the prodigal son, the word prodigal, you know what it simply means? It means senseless. The senseless son. It's amazing, as I've looked over the years and I've watched people trade Jesus out for senseless things. They've traded Jesus for the money. They've traded Jesus for the glamour. They've traded Jesus for someone to recognize him, a boy or a girl. How many people have I watched over the years where they've traded their walk with God for a man or a woman? We've watched where they trade Jesus for a little bit of booze. Not too long ago, someone said to me, every time I come home from work, I need a glass of wine just so I can have some peace. Listen, that's the wrong peace. We've got to come to this place as the prodigal son, this senseless son, literally took all that God had for him, and he traded it out so cheap, and he went to the world. Listen, the world, it is a drawing factor. The world is powerful. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. But the one thing is for sure, everything that the devil can offer you, Jesus will offer you life and life more abundant. I'm not saying it's always easy, but when God gives it to you, it's free, and it won't cost you your eternity. The power of the reality of this prodigal son, this senseless son, who literally took all that he had, all that was his, and he went and he squandered it off. See, you're always going to have the friends that you want as long as you got the money to pay for their beer. You're always going to have the people around you as long as you appeal to their sensuality. A lady said to me one time, she says, I've been living with this guy for a long time and he just won't marry me. I said, shut the shop down. He'll marry you or get rid of you. But so many, we work in a senseless mentality because the wages of sin is death. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? That means you can gain everything that this world has to offer. You can gain everything, whether it be money, whether it be prestige, whether it be cars, whether it be houses, whether it be relationships. You can have it all and still be lost. The prodigal son had it all for a period of time. But always remember this, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. You see, the devil, he is a great friend until it's time to pay the piper. And when it's time to pay him, he is never one that allows the debt that you owe him to go unpaid. You see, the devil, he is one that will destroy you. The word of God declares the devil's come to steal, kill, and destroy. He'll allure you just like he did this senseless son for a period of time. But some point in time, there is a price to pay the piper. It's all good until all of a sudden you start to lose hope. It's all good until all of a sudden your friends have abandoned you. It's all good until you run out of money or the economy's struggling with you. It's all good until all of a sudden you hear, I want a divorce. It's all good until your children now start drinking and smoking and talking like you. See, there comes a place when all that we have on this planet comes to an abrupt end. Why is that? Because what this world has to offer is absolutely temporary. But what Jesus has to offer does not come from the outside in. It comes from the inside out. You can steal what comes from the outside, but you can never steal what comes from the inside. And you see, what comes from the inside is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That relationship with a loving God who can say to this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt, you shall have what you ask. By the power of faith, knowing your God, you can live and live and grow and see God bless you in every dimension. See, this young man didn't realize that when he was with his father, there was nothing missing, nothing lacking. And nothing what? Broken. But he went on his own, just like many of us have. We go on our own adventure. We've got this figured out. But the Bible says that's senseless. But at some point in time, you got to come to your senses. The Bible says this young man, he was out of money. He was out of friends. Like I said, you always lose your friends when you lose the ability to pay for them. Oh, you don't believe me? Try it. Somebody once said they were doing a wedding. I said, man, you should have had a no-alcohol wedding. They said people wouldn't have come. I said, glory to God. It amazes me when we realize that, listen, when you run out of the stuff, you run out of the people. But God said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you always to the end of the earth. He is the faithful God. He is the just God. He is a God that loves you with an everlasting love. And man, why do we senselessly trade him for things that literally tomorrow could change us? Isn't it amazing when we realize, I was talking to Philip Endifon. How many of you remember Philip Endifon? Philip Endifon was here and he used to play football and was... Yeah, we're going to a college, and it was one tear stopped his entire life's plan. One tear literally stopped, and the college set him on the bench and never used him again. We play so much on the temporary that we don't recognize the temporary literally is just for a moment of time. But Christ has what you and I need for all of eternity. We've got to come back and we've got to come to our senses. This is what happened to that young boy. He's sitting there. He's now been hired by a countryman. You see, they don't want to support him like he supported them. Now he's working for them. Not just working for them, he's working in a pig place. Now, whether you realize it or not, pigs were the lowest animal to a Jewish individual. That is the one animal God said don't eat, don't have nothing to do with. They are foul, and God spoke that. And so all of a sudden, now this young man, he's hungry, and now he's feeding the pigs, and he's just hoping they offer him some peas that the pigs are eating so he can fix the hunger pains that are going on in his belly. At that moment, he came to his senses. At that moment, he came to himself and said this: back in my daddy's house, back in my father's house, even the servants eat better than I do. I'm going home. You ever notice that many people wait to the lowest point in their life to come back to Christ? Why is it that we've got to wait till we're eating with the pigs before we realize, my goodness, God has always treated me better. My father's house, even if I was a servant, I'd be treated better than the world is treating me right now. It's time to come back to Christ. Can I hear an amen? It's time to come back to Jesus. I don't know where you are right now in your walk with God. I don't know where you are in your relationship with Jesus. But this I know, this world will offer you things, and the sin will be fun but for a season. But it's time, before you hit the bottom, to call out to the one who's on the top, and his name is Christ, the Son of the living God. Can I hear an amen? What I love more about this story than anything else is watching the Father. The Father, the Bible says, that the Father saw him coming afar off. Do you know what that means? He was watching for him. That means the Daddy was waiting for him. I want you to hear me now this morning, and that God is watching for you. God so loves you. He's not willing to throw you away. He's not willing to trade you out. He's not willing to say, hey, that's their problem and not mine. Well, when they come to me, I'll accept them. No, my Father is watching for us. His love is without restraint. He is passionate over you. He is longing for you, and he's watching for you. Listen now, this boy started walking home. He's broken. He's wounded. He's lost. He's been abandoned. But when he starts walking home, the father doesn't sit in his stoop, but he gets up and he starts running towards his son. I want you to know today that the father will leave the 99 to come after you. He longs for you. He loves you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to hold you. He wants to cry with you. He wants to make you whole all over again. What's cool is he didn't just say, hey, my boy's home, but he then gave him, the Bible calls it, the best robe. The word best there in the Greek literally means the number one robe in the whole house. And robes back in those days, they weren't just cloaks you put on, but it represented your position in the community. This robe was the number one robe for the son. Now here's the other boy. Man, he's been faithful to his daddy. But the one that God gave the number one to was the one who came home. I want you to know today that God is waiting for you to come home. He's got a robe for you. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Your daddy's waiting to put a new robe on you. The Bible says he then put a ring on his finger, which represented what? It represented that he was not an owned person, but he was one that was a free man. You see, only those who wore gold rings were considered free men. This man was a free man. He was once in sin, lost with all that was within. His heart was broken and dashed. His friends abandoned him. His money was all gone. He was eaten with the pigs. But now he's not a slave. Now he came and God made him a free man. You see, God has freedom for you. For he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And then he put sandals on his feet. Today, I want you to know that slaves never wore sandals. The only ones who wore sandals were sons, were people that had placement within the house. Listen, I just want to encourage you. I don't know how far you've gone away from Jesus. I don't know how far you've walked away from God. I don't know. Listen, it doesn't matter to me, and it doesn't matter to God. What God wants is he wants you to come home. And when you start making your trek back to Jesus, he's not waiting for you to catch up. He's running to you. He's got a robe for you, a ring for you, sandals for you. And then he's going to have what they call a welcome home feast. He told them, go kill the fatted calf. Do you know what that was? That was literally called a welcome home feast. where they would slaughter that animal and they would just eat until they were all full. The celebration was massive. Today I want you to know that your daddy's waiting for you. He's longing for you. This is Welcome Home Sunday. We even have some salad after service. For those who are guests, we've renamed ice cream salad. It's a little bit senseless. Where are you with God? What are you eating? Who is your number one priority? It's amazing, as a pastor of, this will be my 30th year of ministry, I can actually show you, I watch it, I've seen it for so many years, decades, literally 3 decades, I've watched people walk away from Jesus. And this is how they do it. They get excited when they get born again. They get excited how Christ has changed their life. They're in the Word. They're in the house of God. Man, you can't keep them out. They're at church on a Sunday morning. They're usually in church one other day during the week, and they're growing and they're maturing. But then all of a sudden, they start trading out God for the things of the world. I'm just telling you how it actually works so you can identify where you stand. All of a sudden now, God, they don't go to church every week anymore. They go to church maybe 3 times a month. They don't go to church at all. They become Sunday morning Christians. From Sunday morning Christian, now they go to every other week in church because now they're busy with the things of the world. Then they go to once a month. Then after once a month, they go to twice a year. Then after twice a year, Pastor Dan can send them letters. Pastor Dan can make calls. His team can call them and say, listen, we miss you. And they won't even answer the phone any longer. It's amazing to me as we watch people literally become prodigal, senseless sons and daughters, where they step out and they walk away from the only one who actually has the ability to give them life. Nobody does it willingly. Nobody sits back and says, I'm going to walk away from Jesus. No one simply says, I'm going to walk away from God. But when you start trading God out for things of this world, it's a slippery slide. And all of a sudden, now you're lost. Now you're sitting at the pig pen. Now you're wondering, where is God? And God is saying, no, I'm waiting for you to come, because the moment you start walking to me, I'm running to you. And the moment I catch you, I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to hold you. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to make you. I'm going to heal you. See, Jesus has everything for you and I, and it's time to say, Jesus, I'm literally willing to trade all this world has to gain you. See, Paul was a man who made this decision. Paul the Apostle in the book of Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, says, I count it all loss. Well, what did he have to lose? He was one of the most learned men as a Pharisee. He was a man that would have climbed the religious ladders and had great popularity. He would have been a pompous leader, one who had great knowledge. He would have been very wealthy and very rich. But he said, I count everything loss just to know Jesus, that I may know him in his resurrection and in the fellowship of his sufferings, that I might know Christ. I count everything else on this planet dung. When was the last time we evaluated our life and the things that are more important than Christ, we actually called them dung? And we made a decision that he is the only one that we're going to chase after as number one in our life. I've watched moms and dads literally trade God for their children. Do you want to know why we do baby dedications? Not for religious. You're literally saying, God, this child's not mine. He's yours. He and she are yours. But what's amazing is this, is that we watch so many spend so much time trying to please their children that they don't teach their children who God is. So we're raising a godless generation in church. And it's time to have a revival with the prodigal. We need sense to come back to the senseless. We need God to again bring us to a place where we say, God, we need you more than anything else on this planet. You see, Jesus is coming, and today he could come. And the reality is this: where will you be if the Messiah breaks through the eastern sky today? The Word of God declares in Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by that way. Narrow is the gate and difficult is its way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. I believe that you have a divine call on your life. I believe that God has so purposed you and fearfully and wonderfully made you. He has given you the gifts and the talents that he has placed within you. And you were born at this very moment in time. And you live in the arena of life that you live and the circle of influence that he has around you, because you are his voice, the ambassador from heaven, placed there to bring a message of hope so that people can come out of the pig pen, out of a senseless life, and come back to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and have their sins washed away and have their wholeness brought to them. You see, God has purpose for your life, and it's time to stop being distracted by the ways of the world and get back to running with Jesus as full force as you can. But Pastor, how can I do this? It's very simple. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. The Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What's the word steadfast mean? It means you're consistent. Shout, consistency is everything. In this church, you've heard this from literally 19 years ago to today. This message has been the message of the house where we are consistent people. You see, can you imagine if you were consistent? How many of you work a job? How many of you would keep your job if you were as consistent to your job as you were to God in his house? See, that's the question. That's where it literally plays upon this skit that we had here. So many of us are more loyal to the things of the world than we are to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And in these last days, God is raising up a people that truly will abandon this world and run to Christ. That doesn't mean God doesn't want you blessed. He said, I want to bless you abundantly above. Or you could even ask or imagine. The Bible declares the devil's come but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that you might have life and life more abundant. Not survival, but abundant life. But you see, when you accept what the devil has to offer, which is temporary, over what God has to offer, which is eternal, then the temporary always wears out. But God's abundance will never wear out in your life. It's time to run to Christ as the boy ran to his dad. Be consistent, steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. You see, if we do those four things, if you make a determination in your life that I had a man in my last church. His name is Mark. He's a pastor now in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. He came to our church because his wife left him for another woman. He came desperate. He sat down with me and he said, listen, I've been going to this other denominational church my whole life. I said, but have you ever heard the gospel? And that was the very first day, and he was like 30 years old, the very first day he ever heard the gospel of Christ, that there's only one name under heaven which while you shall be saved by the name of Jesus. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That it's relationship and not religion. That it's running after God and not just running after religious activity and feeling pious and purpose because the church says so. But knowing God, having a relationship with God, the very first time he ever heard it. You know what happened? That day he gave his heart to Jesus Christ. 3 months into his relationship, he was in church Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and Thursday night. Man, every time the doors were open, that guy was in the house of God and he was growing. Man, he was growing like a weed in the garden. 3 months in, he came and he said, I have a testimony, Pastor. I was reading the Bible the other day, and as I was reading it, I was smoking a joint, and the Holy Spirit said to me, no more weed. He said, I took my nickel bag, and I took my roaches, and I flushed them all down the toilet. But I had a man in the house who was literally born again, double the amount of years that I had been alive. I was 25 years at that day, and he was 50 years born again. And Mark, after 3 years, knew God, walked with God, was passionate about God more than the man who'd been born again 50 years. Because this has nothing to do with climbing a religious ladder. This has everything to do with making Jesus your priority in your life, where he is literally the number one in your life. It's at that moment that everything changes. At that moment that literally the Father picks you up, swings you around, and let's have a party. Can I hear an amen? He meets every need that you have. There's nothing missing, nothing lacking, and nothing broken in your life. We've got to come back to Christ with all that we can get. We've got to make Jesus our priority. We have got to be consistent. Can you imagine if you skipped the amount of meals? You watched your wife cook live stream. You can't taste it. You can't smell it. But you can watch it. You know, I'll be honest with you. Live stream really irritates me. I've been good about it for a long time because they told me I had to be. Now I'm going to tell you my opinion. If you're a local and you're watching by live stream and you're not here simply because you're lazy or you don't want to, I pray, I wish I could shut it off on you. You chuckle and laugh, but I mean it. I would shut it off tomorrow. Because it simply shows this. It's a spiritual issue, not a computer issue. When anything else takes priority over Jesus, then you're a senseless son or daughter. And it's time to come running back to the house. Can I hear an amen? God loves you. Turn to someone and say, Jesus loves you. Man, you don't even have to come all the way before the Father breaks open that door and starts running down the road to you. He'll forgive you. He'll heal you. He'll throw every sin as far as the east to the west and remember it no more. He'll let you know that, hey, you're a brand new man and a brand new woman. I'll celebrate you. I'm going to shout for you. And I'm going to bring great victory in your life. You see, today, this is the heart of God to the people of God. But God's people have to respond to my God. We've got to see that sometimes we run senselessly over foolishness. And this world's distractions, as powerful as they are, we have literally got to filter them out to make Christ our priority. Can I hear an amen? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, you see, Welcome Home Sunday is all about that party that Daddy did. Last night, my goodness, the food was so stinking amazing. I had goulash. I don't know who made the goulash. Who made, do you remember? Whoever made the goulash, you're brilliant. I had cornbread lathered with butter. Lord, Lord, Lord. And I had some apple crisp that made my heart go, I love God. I watched the people. Man, they're just laughing with each other in the fellowship of the brethren. You see, that's one of the four steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. They're in fellowship. They're eating together, and they're doing communion together. It's powerful. You see, that's how you never fall away from the Lord. You never allow anything to distract you to where you're willing to separate yourself from those four principles found in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. In all the years of ministry, everyone that's ever followed those four have always grown, always become leaders, always become people that others rely upon in the kingdom of God. Those who don't follow the four, many of them fall away. They walk away from Jesus. And I challenge you today, welcome home. Welcome home. Daddy wants to hug you and love you today. Daddy wants to forgive you today. Daddy wants to make sure that you realize how important you are to him today. That this is not about religion and a big building. This is about a loving God who's passionate about his children. There's nothing more desirous of our Father but you. He loves you. Today, if you know there's a sin between you and God, today, if you know that you've slid, whether it be a literal or a lot, it doesn't matter, and you want to come home, You want to make God your priority again in your life? Today is your day. He's watching. He's watching. The boy's coming down the road. He's watching for your hand. He's watching for your heart. He's pressing you right now. You feel that in your heart. You know you want to get right with God. I'm afraid what people will say. Who gives a care what anybody says? This is your party, man, not theirs. Today, if you do not know Jesus or you're not in a right position with God and you want to get right with the Lord, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. We want to pray with you before the end of the service. Is there anyone this morning that wants to get right with Jesus? Maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord and today is your day. I want you to slide your hand up. I'm not going to wait long. Come on, get your hand up. Thank you, sir. You can put it right back down. Is there anyone else this morning? Come on. Five. Come on, get your hand up. Four. Thank you, sir. Thank you, young man. Three. Come on, get your hand up. Thank you very much. There you go, over on that side, ma'am. Ma'am, thank you. Two. One call more. One call. Why do I do it? It could be your last call. And one. Thank you. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. You see, this is the most exciting part of the whole ministry today is I love the songs and I love the dance and I love the children, but there's nothing more happy, to heaven than to see someone go from death to life. Amen. Yes. There's nothing more exciting to God than see somebody willing to have God change their life where they want to get right with the Lord. Today, if you raise your hand, I'm going to ask you to be brave. Grab the person next to you. Bring them with you. Say, I raise my hand. Will you go with me? Meet me right here at the front of the altar. I want to pray with you. We want to make sure that you understand and that you not just start this race, but you finish this race all the way. Amen. Come on, give him a hand clap. Don't let heaven outshout you this morning. Well, I'm not going to wait long. This is Mindy and her team. She's going to pray with you guys. So if you'll follow Mindy right on over there. Very good. Thank you so much. Very proud of you. We have some ice cream. Right over there, young man. I'm so proud of you. How old is he? He's a young guy. You're 6 years old? You want Jesus, don't you? I'm proud of you. Can you give a six-year-old a hand clap this morning? Are you ready? We're going to pray for the salad. I heard we got some really good salad dressing, chocolate and caramel. We got some croutons out there. I think they call them sprinkles. I'm going to beat you out to the table this morning. Father, bless the food in Jesus' name. God bless our fellowship. Lord, we are doing Acts 2:42 right now. Lord, let us meet somebody we've never met before. Let us be an encouragement to them. Lord, bless us as we go and let us serve you all the days of our life in Jesus' name. And everybody shout it. I love you. Ice cream in the foyer.
Also, our pastors are getting dunked directly after this service. So please meet us outside. And let's celebrate our humiliation.